Michael's going to lead us in an opening prayer.
Let's pray, guys.
Amen.
Dear God, thank you so much, God, for the gathering of the brothers, dear God.
Amen.
God, praise be to you, God, for just putting us in a position to lead in a powerful way, dear God. I pray, God, that we will come in, Father, tonight, God, being receptive of your word, God, being humble before you and before men, and God, that we will receive your message with a glad and sincere heart.
Amen.
God, I pray that you will fill us with the knowledge of your will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. God, that this message, God, will truly ring throughout our hearts and our minds, and God, we will take it and change the things, God, that we need to change in order to become more like your son, Jesus. We love you so much. We thank you so much for this time. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, turn to Acts chapter 2.
Come on, Steve.
Okay, 2013. We have been emphasizing as our theme
wholehearted devotion.
Very good. I hope more people than Stephen know that. Wholehearted devotion, right. And that's our theme for the year, but it's also our theme for the rest of our lives.
Amen.
Just like David told his son Solomon in 1 Chronicles 28 to have wholehearted devotion to the Lord. That's what we want to do. And as we've started out this year, we've heard some powerful messages about that.
Amen.
About our relationship with God.
Right.
And that's what I wanted to start the class tonight. So be thinking about this with some discussions and sharing by you as to how this has helped you this month so far in your relationship with God and making that better. How have you been inspired to be devoted to God more so far this year? Let's read Acts 2. A familiar passage to many of us. We're going to read verse 42. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. You see here, right after Peter preached, 3,000 were baptized, and then it says here what they did. Those 3,000 brand new disciples, along with the apostles and the others who were already disciples of Jesus, says they devoted themselves. They had wholehearted devotion. And they had wholehearted devotion to four things. And we're going to focus, as we start the class here, on two of those things. It says they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to the Bible. You know, we have the apostles' teaching in written form. They had it in living form of the apostles actually speaking to them, which is kind of cool. And then it says they were devoted to praying to God. And that's what we've been talking about. You know, Richard has emphasized this in his preaching, seeking God, craving the Word. Stephen last Thursday talked about we need to pray.
Amen.
And John, again, amen, this past Sunday, talked about fanning into flame our relationship with God.
Amen.
So how's that been going? Let's open it up for discussion. How has that really helped? What are some victories you've had this month in your relationship with God and being more wholehearted in your devotion to God? Yes, sir.
Well, one of the things that was a trouble spot for me was having a consistently focused prayer time. I would pray on my way to work, on my drive, and that just wasn't focused. It was just too distracting. So what I decided to do was, set an alarm clock for 9:30 or something like that. Before I go to bed, no matter what I'm doing, I'm going to drop it, and I'm going to pray to God before I go to bed, and that has made a huge difference in my life so far. And I've only been doing that since the beginning of the month, but I feel much closer to God than I have been.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Welch. Yes, sir?
I think in my personal life, married, young married, and one thing that I wanted to start doing this year was praying every night with my wife. I think we're both in prayer and communion together. So that's been going very well. I feel like we're definitely drawing closer together because of the spiritual.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir?
Yeah, I know for me, one of the things is just being devoted to really getting the word in me so that when I'm tempted, it comes to my defense. I mean, I was talking to somebody and late last year, and I was just telling them how there are times when I've been tempted and no scripture came to mind, and that really scared me. So the thing that I've been doing now is just memorizing these scriptures, and it's really helped me to identify sin. You know, when Satan shows up and tempts me, I mean, it's just so obvious now. So that's been helping me a lot.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Even making a bitter habit to read my Bible every day. You know, sometimes you gotta just have to wipe your flesh and do what God wants you to do. And I take everything to die in prayer, no matter what it is, whether you know, like a meditation, or whether you're, you know, thanking Him. Just take everything to die in prayer.
Amen. Are you raising your hand back there, or is it just? Oh, okay. Oh. Yes, sir.
I've just been calling brothers and praying with them and reading, you know, just to, you know, Bible says let each brother sharpen one another, and we just, you know, just encourage one another with the word, you know, and pray together. And just confess.
Amen. Amen. You want to share?
Well, Markham has been calling me often during the week, and at times when I'm down in my spirit and the devil trying to attack me, he called me right on time to, we can defeat the devil together. Amen. And it's really been a blessing to me. Amen. I've been having some pretty bad dreams and nightmares about things that are happening in my past life, but Martin was right there at the right time, and we just fought the devil off together. I really appreciate that. I thank God for His mercy and His grace in allowing that door to open up for me and Markham at the same time.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Sir.
One of the things I've been really challenged and convicted by is stepping up in leadership in a household. And really in looking at it and looking at my son. And one of the things that I decided to do this year in spending more time in the Word is that we're going to look at the Luke together, Book of Luke. I take the Beatitudes, take out of Matthew's, we're going to look at the Book of Luke and really study out Jesus' character. And I think while it's going to definitely convict him, I know it's going to convict me a whole lot, and it's challenging me already to think a lot more about Jesus and to be focused on Jesus and being more like him.
Amen.
I'll share. I realized in the end of the year, in my time with God, I tend to fall asleep. I found myself to the point where I was almost enjoying my time with God, or my body was, because it knew I was going to fall asleep. And I start looking forward to it. And, you know, I on the weekends, I have a place in the basement sometimes I go to, and I'm in a chair there where there's a light, and I can lean back and just fall asleep in the chair. And then the same thing would tend to happen at work. When I have my quiet times at work, I drive to work early a lot of times and have my quiet times there in my office before the day starts. And you know, I get in my chair and lean back, and before I know it, I've slept through half of my quiet time. So that was one thing I was determined is that in starting the new year to stay awake and to be awake.
Amen.
And really focus.
Amen.
And that's been really good. I think another thing, I tend to take notes during the messages on Sunday and on Thursday, but I almost never go back to them. I used to do that a lot, but I had realized I was out of the habit of doing that. So I've been doing that in January too, you know, like my quiet time on Monday often being the sermon from Sunday and just looking back at that. So that's been helping me too, get closer to God this year. Well, amen. I hope some of those things were inspiring to you to hear how some of our other brothers have responded to being wholehearted or more wholehearted in our devotion to God. You know, this we don't want this to just be a slogan, you know, that we yell.
Right.
And, you know, I think something we emphasize for a few weeks and then forget about. I think to be real, some of our themes in the past have kind of been that, you know. Can you remember the theme from last year or the theme from the year before that? You know, sometimes we announce them and then we kind of, you know, they kind of fade away by March or April. But we really want this to be something that's we're going to continue to do throughout the year and apply to other things, like I'm going to talk about later tonight, wholehearted devotion in other areas. You know, we want to make this year different. We had a meeting on Saturday morning of the elders and our wives, which we do that once a month for breakfast and get together. Richard and Sarah couldn't be there because Richard was sick and he didn't want to infect us, amen. But he joined by phone for the important parts of the meeting. We had him on a speakerphone there. But one of the things we focused on was just our concern, you know, for some of the serious spiritual issues that we have in the church. Steve shared from Ezra chapter 9, and if you read it, I'm not going to turn that now, but if you read Ezra chapter 9, the Israelites who had returned from captivity were facing some very serious spiritual problems. And it says Ezra just got appalled, and he just sat down appalled for hours. He was just upset and praying to God and fasting and just really disturbed at these spiritual problems. And then, you know, he started praying to God about it, and then some men gathered around him and they did something about it. And, you know, that's how we feel. There are issues. There are good things, but then there are things we want to see change, you know, in the church as your leaders. And, you know, one of the things is we really want folks to have a great relationship with God.
Amen.
And that's why Richard has been focusing on that, and the others who have taught this year, is that's where we want to start, is to really stir us all up to have wholehearted devotion for the Lord. You know, and if that's not been, if you haven't been stirred up yet this year and you need to, then let me urge you to do that. You know, Richard taught one lesson about Solomon did not listen.
Yeah.
You know, so, the verse we've been emphasizing is 1 Chronicles 28, where David told his son to have wholehearted devotion. And Solomon had that for a while, but eventually he lost it. You know, eventually, as Richard talked about, and you can read, you know, he had a lot of wives, and they drew him away. You know, they drew him away from God. You know, that's what can happen if we don't maintain our wholehearted devotion to the Lord.
Yep.
Or if we lost it and we don't get it back. You know, we can drift away. So that's what I just wanted to encourage us tonight, to really take these messages and these challenges seriously, and to have that wholehearted devotion to God. To spend that time in prayer and in Bible study and really going after it, where you want to be close to God.
Amen.
You want to have that relationship with Him to really make that change. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Acts 2, 42 that we read also talks about being devoted to some other things. And we're not going to talk about the breaking of bread tonight. But it also said they were devoted to the fellowship.
Amen.
They were devoted to each other.
Amen.
To their relationships with each other.
Amen.
Turn to Romans chapter 12. So a couple of weeks ago, we had a leadership workshop right here with all the leaders in the church, all the family group leaders and the deacons, the elders, the staff. This was one of the things that we talked about right here, being devoted to one another. We've been emphasizing being devoted to God and having wholehearted devotion to God. But that workshop, we also talked about being devoted to one another in our relationships. And let's just read Romans 12 and verse 10. In the NIV it says, Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. So here it's talking about being devoted to one another. You know, that being devoted in our relationships. Wholehearted relationships with each other. You know, that wholehearted devotion applies to God, but it also applies to our brothers in Christ.
Amen.
You know, where we put into practice the one another scriptures. You know, this says be devoted to one another. Mm. There's a whole bunch of one another scriptures.
Yes.
You know, love one another and encourage one another and you know, counsel one another and confess your sins to one another. You can look, there's dozens of them, all kinds of one another scriptures, and they describe what our relationship with each other is supposed to be.
Wow. Amen.
And that's what we need. We need relationships where we're putting those into practice.
Amen.
Consistently with each other.
Amen.
And that's what we talked about at the leadership workshop. You know, at the beginning of the year, Douglas Arthur came and preached, and he gave a great picture of a relationship like that.
Yeah.
From the Bible. The relationship of David and Jonathan.
True.
This is a men's class, and they were two men. They were manly men. You know, they fought wars and killed giants, and but they had a great spiritual relationship.
Amen.
Amen.
And as Douglas talked about, first and foremost, that relationship was based on their mutual devotion to God.
That's right.
They were devoted to God. They had great faith in God that was evident. And they could see that in each other. And that's they were wholehearted in their faith to God. And that's what gave them those victories. Mm-hmm. You know, where Jonathan attacked the camp and killed all those Philistines. And David killed Goliath. And, you know, they had these great victories because of their devotion to God. And then their love for God, that's what bonded them to each other. That's what was the foundation for their relationship with each other. They encouraged each other in the Lord.
Yep.
And things couldn't draw them apart, right? They had competing claims to the throne, right? They were, in effect, competitors for the throne. Mm-hmm. But that didn't separate them.
Yeah.
You know, they had family ties. You know, so Jonathan's father, Saul, wanted to kill David. But that didn't separate them. They were their relationship was strong, and it was based on the Lord. And that's the kind of relationships we want to have.
Amen.
You know, last summer, after the summit in San Antonio on August 8th, right here, Richard and the elders, we all made a public statement committing to that we were going to have regular discipling relationships with each other. We felt this was essential to our unity as a leadership, to our own personal spiritual growth, and to our example to all of you. And so we've been doing that. The Colliers and the Galbraiths get together regularly to help disciple each other. And the Alloways and the Rouses get together regularly to disciple each other. And by regular, we mean at least a couple of times a month. At least a couple of times a month. Sometimes, you know, it's the couples get together, all four of us get together and talk. Sometimes it's just the men get together and the women get together. But that's what we do. And we're trying to have spiritual content, you know, in our relationships. Not just get together and talk about fun things, or not just get together even and talk about ministry things, although we do that too. But talk about our own lives, you know, our marriages, our parenting, our sin, you know, the things we're struggling with, our feelings.
Amen.
We've been doing that. Now, we are all busy. We all have busy schedules. We have many other responsibilities here in the church, and jobs, and, you know, houses, and families, and kids, and funerals to go to. We all have other responsibilities, and we've had to fight to make this a priority.
Amen.
You know, it's not been easy. It's so easy to say, well, okay, we won't do it, or, you know, it gets postponed, but we've made it a priority to make it happen. Steve and I, we actually have lunch almost every single week. We have lunch almost every single week. And then we've been trying to get all four of us together from time to time. And Barb and Roxanne fight to get together, not quite every week, but almost. That's what we're trying to do. We really want to have that kind of relationship. And in our leadership workshop, what we did is we called everyone else in the leadership group to have that same kind of relationship.
Amen.
Specifically, we asked everyone in the leadership group to focus on one other person in the leadership group to have that kind of relationship with. So if they were married, it would be another couple. If they were single, it would be another person. But you know, we really wanted everyone in the leadership group to follow our example.
Amen.
And to have that kind of relationship where we're helping each other grow. Many of our leaders already had that, but some didn't. So those who did, we were urging them, you know, to make it better, to make it spiritual, make it like David and Jonathan.
Amen.
And Steve talked about, you know, the one another scriptures. Alan talked about pitfalls to avoid, where the relationship would be spiritual and would advance the kingdom. And that was our emphasis on that morning. Let's turn to Matthew 28. Why are these relationships important? What goes wrong if we don't have them? Matthew 28 at the end, or most of us are very familiar with the Great Commission. Verse 19, Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." So, you know, when we baptize someone, when someone becomes a disciple, we then need, it says, to go on and teach them to obey everything that Jesus commanded.
Amen.
You know, the making of a disciple and baptizing is just the beginning.
Yep.
Right? It's an ongoing process. We've got to help these disciples who get baptized to learn to obey everything Jesus commanded.
That's right.
That's an ongoing thing.
Right.
How long? What did Jesus say? End of the age. Has that happened yet?
No.
Now, the Mayans thought so, but they were wrong. And that other guy last year, and he was wrong. No, hasn't happened yet. So this verse is still applied. Now, most of us in here became disciples at some point.
Right.
Amen.
So you turn this verse around, you still need to be receiving that teaching.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
You know, we need to do it with new folks we baptize and make disciples. But you turn it around, you know, if you've been a disciple 5 years, well, it still applies to you.
That's right.
You've been a disciple 10, 20, 30. You know, it still applies to you.
Amen.
You still need to be
Amen.
Learning or being taught to obey everything Jesus commanded.
Amen.
And so that's why it's important. We need not only to be doing it and helping others, we still need to be receiving it.
Yep.
No matter where we are in the Lord, no matter how far along we are in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we wanted our leaders to do it. That's why we wanted to do it as leaders. Now, this is how we grow. You know, what happens when you don't? Well, you stall out.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, if you stop receiving this teaching from other disciples to help you obey everything Jesus commanded, well, you're going to stop learning to obey everything Jesus commanded. You're gonna stall out spiritually.
Wow.
You know, things are gonna get stuck. If you're married, your marriage is gonna get stuck because you're not getting that teaching anymore.
Right.
You're not getting that help you need. You know, your evangelism will dry up because you're not getting that help. It's, you know, how can I do it? How can I be more effective? It'll dry up. You know, leaders won't rise up in the church. People won't grow to the point where they can help others and take on responsibility. You know, our relationship with God suffers. You know, that's what we've been emphasizing this month. And part of that is other people helping us, other people encouraging us to have a great relationship with God. And if we stop receiving that teaching from other people, it can undermine our relationship with God too. You know, and brothers, this is very serious. You know, this is... Well, again, one of the things we were thinking about when we were talking on Saturday about Ezra being appalled is, you know, we want everyone in our church to have these kind of relationships.
Amen.
And some of us don't have them. You know, some of us have you know, sort of maybe we had them in the past, and we kind of let them sort of fade away, or they become shallow. And we can see the effect all around.
Yeah.
You know, we can see the effect in our church, in marriages, in our children, you know, heading down the wrong path, or having difficulty in teaching them what they need to be. And so what we wanted to do, you know, we changed it ourselves last summer, and now we've called our leaders to do it. And we're determined to make this a change. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, I've heard that before. I've heard someone say that before. Maybe you heard me say it before. Or you heard someone else say it before. And I admit, yes, we have said things like this before, both to the church at large and to the men here in the room. But we really want it to change this year. We started out talking about wholehearted devotion to God, and now we're talking about wholehearted devotion to each other.
Amen.
And we really want it to change.
Amen.
You know, in Seinfeld, there was that time when Kramer made a vow of silence, right? And it didn't start out real well. And he ended up telling all these things to one of Jerry's rivals, and it all got printed in the paper or on the anyway, it was really bad. And so, but Kramer kept coming back to it, right? It says, starting now. You know, he never really did it. But anyway, that's sort of it. Starting now, we really want to do this.
Amen.
Even if we may have said it before. You know, what we realized, you know, we can't really call the church to do something we're not doing.
Right?
Amen. And if we as leaders weren't really getting consistent discipling, and we're just kind of, you know, doing our best and getting it occasionally, but we were expecting you to do something different, that doesn't work. You know, so we had to start with ourselves, and that's what we did. And now we've called the rest of the leadership, and that's what we did. And you guys know where I'm going to go in just a minute. But just to tell you what we did, we asked every leader after that workshop to send us an email about who their primary relationship would be in the leadership group. So we didn't just throw it out there. We asked them to send us an email. And, you know, surprise, we discovered some of them didn't have regular relationships, and they had to, you know, sort of look for that and decide what that would be. And we just, you know, discovered some of them, you know, sort of were spread too thin over several people, doing their best, but just, you know, and infrequent, like we had discovered in ourselves last summer. So, but everyone has responded to the call. We still have one or two, you know, kind of things to work out. But you know, the list is about complete of all the leaders having committed to someone else to have this kind of relationship. So, amen?
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen.
Turn to 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. Like I said, you guys know where I'm going next. Like Peter Falk and the Princess Bride said to his grandson, you are very sweet. I can't fool you. The second thing we called the leaders to do was to get all of us doing that. So we asked them, first, you know, you got to put the mask on your own face. You know, when you're in the airplane and the masks come down, you know, you got to put the oxygen mask on yourself first. So we wanted the leaders to start with themselves. They can't run around putting masks on other people. So that doesn't work, right? You got to put the mask on yourself, and then you can help other people. So we wanted them to start with themselves, and that may take a little time, but then we wanted them to help us make sure everyone is doing it. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, Paul speaking to Timothy, or writing to Timothy, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also.
Amen.
Okay? So we have here a process. Paul has entrusted some teaching to Timothy, who is an evangelist, and he's asking him to entrust that same teaching to other reliable men, and then those other reliable men are supposed to entrust that teaching to yet more people.
Amen.
So you see there's a process of kind of helping each other or passing it on. And so that's what we ask the leaders to do, is to pass this on to the rest of the church. We want everyone to have devoted spiritual relationships where we are consistently helping each other, like Jesus said in the Great Commission, teaching each other to obey everything that Jesus commanded us. Some of you may have already heard about this from your leaders. Some of you may not, but if not, be patient. Like I said, we wanted them to put the mask on their own face first. And some of, we have some large groups, and it might take time. Some of you, of course, are already doing it. But we will continue to emphasize this because we really want folks to be devoted to one another. Of course, you don't have to wait for your leader to bring it up or to call a meeting or, you can do it already on your own. If you're married, it should be another couple.
Amen.
But find someone in the church that you can have a devoted relationship with, like
Amen.
David and Jonathan.
Amen.
And not just, three or four people in the church, because you can't do that with three or four people.
Right.
You have to focus. You have to pair off. It has to be, you're committing to them and they're committing to you, so you can make that time in your schedule to where you're going to be thinking about each other, praying about each other, and talking to each other, encouraging each other with scriptures, calling each other. It has to be a priority, like David and Jonathan, that kind of relationship. And that's what we want people to have. And we're committed where we put into practice the one another relationships, where there's that real spiritual content to our relationships. And it's not just, the Super Bowl or our job or, things like that, but that where there's real spiritual focus there, where we're helping each other. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, well, I wanted to open it up for discussion again. What did y'all think about the lesson tonight? What kind of reaction or response do we have? Yes, sir.
When I got that, Russ and Sue have always been our best friends, and we've always gotten together with them fairly consistently, twice a month or so, something like that. Again, usually couples. But it came to realize, and we got together and discussed it, that it is a friendship, but a lot of times we don't pray together, we don't study the Bible together, we get a lot of advice, but Scripture's not used. So we've repented from that. We're still getting together, but we're going to use more of the Bible in our discussions. We'll still have fun. We'll still, get advice, but we're going to use the Bible in the discussions.
Amen.
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 Amen. I left you speechless. No. Yes, sir.
I think when I was thinking about fellowship and you brought up about loving each other deeply, it kind of reminded me of some of the stuff we've been studying with Peter. How Peter kind of encouraged them to do the same thing because they learned the truth. And so I was thinking about as I kind of grow and learning more about it, as I grow my love for God, I grow in loving what He loves. If He loves my brothers, as I love them more, I'll learn to love them more as well. And so, so that was one thing. The other thing was, not to feel like I need to spread myself too thin. We kind of talked about being spread too thin. But just kind of a couple key relationships that you just dive headlong into so that you kind of really make them deep, right? Because, so much time with so much responsibility, just need focus in order to be able to build something strong.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We might finish early if y'all are going to talk. Yes, sir.
I appreciated what you shared tonight. It helps me learn that you really need relationships, one-on-one relationships. And more so, you need accountability. Without accountability, you just kind of, you're floating or you're just kind of not moving in the right direction. So having that one-on-one relationship, that excitement, that keeps you focused on the mission. It keeps you focused on loving people. And it keeps you focused on being all you can be for God.
Amen. you know, you have a relationship like that. Steve and I have been building one like that for a long time. It means there's a natural place to share, you know, great things. I mean, I can share great things with other folks too, but it's somebody who really knows me and I've been talking to and building a relationship with for a long time. It's just, you know, you can share like, wow, this great thing happened. And I had a great conversation with my son a couple of weeks ago, and I it was something I wanted to share. That kind of thing. It's just it provides that opportunity. For, you know, you can do that with someone that doesn't know you as well and doesn't resonate, you know, but someone you're close to, and then they realize the significance of the joyful thing that happens. And the other thing, too, you know, I had a terrible day on Monday, spiritually, gave in to sin at work. I just had a terrible day, but I had lunch scheduled with Steve for Wednesday, and so I was able to share that with him. And talk to him about that. So it was great that it was right there and we could talk.
Amen.
It wasn't like, oh, who am I going to talk to about this? It's right there. It's right there for me to do. I think that's essential to helping us grow, to helping us be what we need to be for the Lord, for those of us who are married, for our wives, for our friends, those of us who are parents, for our children, and just, you know, for everyone we're trying to help. These kind of relationships make us who we need to be so that we can do that. Amen. One last thing I wanted to talk about, changing the subject, which Richard already mentioned, is we're having this meeting on Saturday with leaders from all over Atlanta. And it's a cool thing. We had the first such meeting back in October. It was a conviction I had coming out of the San Antonio Summit that I wanted to try to have such a meeting. And the other elders and Richard here agreed it was a good idea. And so we called it and got folks together and started them talking. We're having the second meeting tomorrow. The first meeting, or Saturday, the first meeting, we tried to focus on positive things. Why would it be good for us to talk more and to have greater unity and cooperation among the churches in Atlanta? You know, we tried to focus on the positive things. But at the end of that meeting, we decided that we also need to talk about the more challenging things. As Richard said, the elephants in the room. And so that's what this Saturday's meeting is going to do. We're going to talk about those. Now, we're not going to try to solve any of them because that is too much for one meeting.
Yeah.
We are just going to try to make a list of the elephants in the room, you know, describe them, and then come up with a process where we can move forward on working on them. So that's what's happening on Saturday. We have over 20 elders and evangelists from around Atlanta coming to that meeting. The seven churches in the immediate Atlanta area are all coming and represented. So it's a cool thing. And sort of like we said before, in terms of being appalled over, you know, spiritual problems, some of the things we're going to have to talk about on Saturday are appalling. Mm-hmm. What we did is we asked for the leaders to send us in advance, you know, their input. We didn't want to just come in the room and have people raise their hand. We wanted to sort of have it in advance to where we could, you know, present it. Here's the list. It's scary. Some of the emails that came in, and you know, some of the issues we all know, but I mean, it's just scary to be reminded of some of the things that we need to resolve. So work out. So be praying.
Amen.
For the
Amen.
Meeting on Saturday. If I just have a personal favor from me to you, is if you could set aside some time between now and Saturday at noon to pray about this meeting.
Amen.
And I would greatly appreciate it. I am the chair of the meeting, so I would appreciate your personal prayers for me.
Amen.
As we have this meeting. And then I have to drive, leave later that afternoon to take my mom to Virginia. So be praying for me.
Amen. Amen.
Well, let's close out with a prayer. And we'll be done. Dear Father, dear God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, God, that we can look into your word, Father, that we can know your will for our lives, that you speak to us, that you speak to us corporately through your word and preaching and teaching, as you speak to us individually as we open the Bible and read it for ourselves, God, and that you teach us things, you show us things, you encourage us. Father, you rebuke us and show us things we need to change. You build us up and give us joy. Father, we just thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that we can pray to you. Father, that we can cry out to you, share our feelings with you, share our hurts with you, and share our victories with you, our goals with you. Father, that we have you to call upon. Father, as we try to be men, as we try to be disciples of Jesus, to be great examples to people around us, to be great husbands if we're married, or great fathers if we have children. Father, to accomplish what we need to in our jobs or school. Father, we are just grateful that we can pray to you. Father, and I pray as we talked about this year, that we could just have a wholehearted devotion to you, God, and that every man here could be closer to you, God. And we thank you that you also have given us each other.
Amen.
You've given us the church. You've given us your kingdom. You've given us brothers in Christ that we can be close to. Father, and I pray that we would be devoted to one another, that we really could focus and have relationships where we practice the one another scriptures. Father, help us with that. And Father, show us how to do that, and how to do that more and more. God, and I pray for Saturday. I pray for the meeting, and pray that you would be with me, fill me with your spirit. Father, I pray for all the other brothers who will be coming to that meeting, and pray that your spirit would really guide the deliberations.
Yes. Yes.
And really be working on the hearts of everyone who will be there.
Yes,
Father,
God.
That your will would be done in that meeting and the meetings that we will have as we move forward. Father, we love you. God, we are, again, so grateful we can pray to you, so grateful that you hear us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.